John 5, verses 16 to 23. So, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves his Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him."
Here's some things I've heard this week. A primary age child: "I just want to be at school with my friends." A parent: "Trying to juggle the needs of three teenagers at different schools, my wife's part-time work, and I'm meant to be working from home, is very stressful. I can't settle to anything. I'm constantly distracted. I don't know how we're going to manage this in the long run." A single person living on their own: "I realized lockdown has made me much more anxious. I don't want to have contact with anyone. I'm fearful of catching the virus. At the same time, I worried about my relationships because I'm so isolated. I feel very alone. It's not doing my mental health any good." I guess this week has seen all of us having to make adjustments to our daily lives as we adapt to lockdown. We look on with alarm at the virulence of this new strain. It's creating all kinds of difficulties, frustrations and fears, struggles and stresses. Where do we turn? Who do we look to in such troubling times when so much is being shaken up? 2 weeks ago, as we were in John's Gospel, we read this: "To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." So up front, let's ask this question: are you a child of God? Do you know God as your Heavenly Father? If we're trusting Jesus, we can say with confidence that we have been adopted into his family. We are members of God's household. But what does this mean? What are the implications? How does the fact of my adoption speak into my present situation, the context of my daily lockdown life that we've just been thinking about? What does it mean to be a child of God? Well, over the next 3 weeks, as Andy said, we're going to be exploring this, what God has to say in his word about adoption. This week, knowing God as Father. Next week, how adoption is the basis of the Christian life. And in 2 weeks' time, how adoption is the key to Christian conduct. We're going to be looking at a number of different Bible passages, different to our usual pattern of looking closely at one book. Can I encourage you to do something that, because we haven't got Bibles in the pews anymore because of COVID, do bring your own Bible so that you can see where we're at, because it's going to be really helpful to you follow along. Some of the passages will be coming up on the screen. I'm conscious that for some, the idea of God as Father is a very negative idea. You may not have known your Father. He may have been absent or difficult, or you may have a problematic relationship with him now. For some, it may even be abusive. For others, maybe you're not yet trusting Jesus and not a child of God. I hope for all of us, wherever we're coming from, whatever our relationship with God, that we'll see Jesus more clearly as we hear God's word, that will be drawn to him and come to see just how glorious it is to know him as our Father. Before we can think of knowing God as our Father, though, we need to think about the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And we're going to start here because it's that relationship that we're drawn into as we trust Jesus. This is the family that we join. So three ways we're going to look at the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. The first is this: the Father loves the Son. The Father loves the Son. Look with me at John 5, the reading that we've just had. What really got under the skin of the Jewish leaders is how Jesus spoke of his relationship with God. In John 17, he said, "He is my Father." Not God in the abstract, but personal. And for this reason, we read in verse 18, "They tried all the more to kill him, for he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." And this then leads on to Jesus speaking about his relationship. It's close, it's intimate. And at heart, it's one of love. Verse 20, the Father loves the Son. And it's a repeated refrain of Jesus that the God in heaven is his Father, and he is loved by him. John 17 goes even further, beyond all human love as we know it, by speaking of the love of a Father for him as being eternal. He says this: "You loved me before the creation of the world." And it isn't just Jesus who speaks of the love of his Father. God himself declares it to all the world. At Jesus' baptism and at his transfiguration, the voice from heaven declares, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." We want to ask, what does this love look like? Well, in John 3, Jesus says his Father has placed everything in his hands. In John 17, he says he's given him authority over all people, so that he might give them very life he has, that is eternal life. In John 5, he says he's entrusted judgment to the Son. This is the generous love that gives, the Father gives to his Son. But we might say, doesn't the cross say something different? Surely if the Father really loved Jesus, his Son, he'd rescue him from the cross. Surely he wouldn't abandon and forsake him when Jesus cried out to him. Isn't that a cold and callous and unloving Father who would give his Son to such a death? But this isn't the case. Once we understand what John says in his first letter, the Father sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. This was the work Jesus knew his Father had given him in love. And he knew that would mean the cross. And he knew that he would return to his Father once that work was complete. Such was his confidence in his Father's love. The Father loves the Son. He always has and he always will. Secondly, the Father is united to the Son. The Father is united to the Son. Here in John 8, verse 21, "The one who has sent me is with me. He has not left me alone." Now, in some ways, we could say this is an extension of the first point. The Father loves the Son. The fact he doesn't leave the Son alone is an expression of his love. And this knowledge, this certainty of Jesus that he would not be left alone, gives him peace. As the time of his crucifixion drew near, he knew he would be deserted by everyone. In John 16, he speaks of it like this, of his disciples, "You'll all be scattered, each of you to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me." You know how sometimes we speak of people being very close. We sometimes might say, you know, they're like that. You can't separate them. You can't get a piece of paper between them. They're inseparable. Well, so it is with the Father and the Son. But even more so, because this is an eternal unity, God in three persons in one, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, have always been together. So this, unlike a human relationship that ends in death, this relationship between God the Father and God the Son is forever. And secondly, this gives great confidence to Jesus not being alone. It gave him, as we saw just now, peace in the face of death. Death that separates, that breaks any relationship we may have had. But not so between Jesus and his Heavenly Father. the Father is united to the Son, always. And thirdly, the Father honours the Son. We've heard so much about dishonour in the last few days from the States, how President Trump has dishonoured the presidency, how he's dishonoured the people of America by the way that he's acted, that he should be stripped of what remaining power and authority he has. His colleagues are ashamed and are distancing themselves, not wanting his dishonour to taint them. Well, Jesus went to the most dishonourable of places, the cross, abandoned by everyone. The thought that this was the Son of God, stripped naked, exposed, weak and pathetic. If this is how we view the cross, how wrong we are, because God the Father sets the record straight in Philippians. This is a passage you may well know. He says this, he humbled himself, this is speaking of Jesus, the Son of God, by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Father honours the Son, not just because of his willing obedience on the cross, but in his life and ministry. As the Father has life in himself, he is granted, he says, the Son also to have life in himself. I mean, what an honour that the God and Father should bestow on his Son. I can't think of a greater honour than to be able to give eternal life. Well, here we've touched then on the relationship between God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. There's so much more to be explored. We have only touched on it. The rest of our time, we're going to think what that means for us as we enter into this relationship between the Father and the Son, as we become a member of God's family, to know God by his Christian name, our Father. So three implications for us following the same pattern, knowing God as our Father. Firstly, God our Father loves his children. In John 16, 27, it says this, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and believed that I came from God. Let's be very clear. If I said to you, why does God love you? Do you think he loves you because you're good? Well, you're not. Does he love you because other members of your family trust Jesus? No. He loves you, it says, because you have loved Jesus, his own Son. And he loves you not from a distance, but so much that he invites you in to be a member of his family, to be loved with the love that he showers on Jesus, to be loved like the Son of God, not just accepted, but given royal treatment. You know that lovely picture of the prodigal son returning to his father and how he lavishes on him all the goods he can. He says, put a ring on his finger, put sandals on his feet, have a feast to celebrate. That is the expression of God's fatherly care and concern and compassion and love that is forever. And we enter into that as we are adopted into God's family, as we know God as our Father. Secondly, knowing God as our Father means God our Father is united to his children. Just as nothing can separate Jesus from his Father, not even death, so as his children, nothing can separate us from the love of God. As Romans 8 says, for good reason, these are verses that we treasure because they are true and so precious. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are going to be separated from everything in life at one stage, at death, but not from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. What about when we mess up? What about when we forget to read our Bible or pray? What about when we deny him as the Apostle Peter did? What about when death comes to us? Well, as Hebrews puts it, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. When the children were small and we used to walk along mountain paths, I'd make sure that they held on really close. And I can remember they'd struggle to get free because they wanted to go right to the edge to look over the steepest precipice. But I wouldn't let them go. I was their father and loved them too much. There's times in our lives when we will want to let go of God's hand. We'll want to give up on our commitment to Jesus when times are tough. But God won't let us go. Once we've put our hand in His, it's there to say, your relationship with God is a free gift. Once given, it won't ever be taken away. And this is an incredible source of comfort and joy for the believer. We are not alone. Thirdly, knowing God as our Father means God our Father honours His children. To start with, what an honour to become His child, to call God our Father. I wonder if we think about that, to know the new life that is in Him, the forgiveness that is ours, the gift of His Holy Spirit dwelling within us. What honours are these? And it's all of grace. And I love the way John puts it in 1 John 3. He says this, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called sons of God." And I love what he says, "And this is what we are." Let's be clear in using the word sons. He's got in mind men and women, boys and girls. And I love the way that he says the Father has lavished on us. It speaks, doesn't it, of that greatness, his exceeding kindness, his abundant grace. He brings us out of condemnation, out of slavery, out of the fear of death. And he adopts us into safety and certainty and security and the enjoyment of the family of God that we experience in part now. He's brought us out of the gutter and made us sons and daughters in his own home forever. This is what we are if we are in Christ, recipients and beneficiaries of the greatness of his grace. No wonder J.I. Packer could write this: the entire Christian life is understood in terms of adoption. Life with God as our Father. And we're going to return to look more closely next week to consider how adoption is the basis for the Christian life. For now, when all around us, everything, all our earthly anchors, all the certainties and futures that we had mapped out, whether we're at school or at college, or whether we're in work or retirement, all of those being shaken, the situations we find ourselves in, do you know the great love that the Father has lavished on you? If not, draw near to Him and listen hard and turn to Him. And if you do know Him, then rejoice in this lavish love of God the Father, that you've been adopted into His family. Let me pause and pray, and then we're going to sing. How amazing, Heavenly Father, that we should be recipients and beneficiaries of your love, for we know how unworthy and undeserving we are, that we should be called sons and daughters of yours through faith in Jesus Christ. And we pray that as we look more closely at this great theme of adoption that we find in the scriptures, we might see how rich it is and what joy there is in knowing God as our Father. And if we don't yet know Him as that, please would you open our ears and our eyes to the wonderful truths in your word. For we ask in Jesus' name, Amen.